Tomorrow is Mother's Day. So let me start by wishing all the mothers that are here today happy Mother's Day in advance. Just a little historical trivia for those who are interested. Mother's Day was inspired by a social activist named Anna Jarvis back in 1905. She wanted to honor her mother who did a lot of work promoting public health and community welfare. But it didn't become an official holiday until 1914 when President Woodrow Wilson finally declared the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. And ironically, the same Anna Jarvis later fought against the holiday, believing that it had strayed too far from its original intent and the intent of personal reflection on and gratitudes on mothers. She actually petitioned to have Mother's Day removed as a national holiday after the fact, but it was too late, obviously. Once it started. She felt that it was becoming too commercialized, like every other holiday we see here. Brethren, one undeniable truth connects us all, that we all have a mother in our lives. More than likely, we all have cherished memories of our mothers that reflect the resilience and compassion and the selflessness of her character. Through a lifetime of experiences, we can recall moments of profound influence that our mothers have in our lives that maybe influence our lives or change our lives. For many, Mother's Day can be a joyful day. For others, it can be a bittersweet day or even maybe an emotionally painful day. Some of us grieve for the loss of our mothers, while others are living the joys and the challenges of being a mother. Yet others quietly long for the chance to step into the role of motherhood. But motherhood is more than just biology. It's a calling, a ministry, a legacy. It is deeper than just having a position in a family or carrying a child. Being a mother takes more. It takes sacrifice. It takes presence of mind. It takes patience and a heart that's willing to keep showing up no matter how difficult times get, no matter what happens. It is love that is poured out daily in the family, lessons that they give through the examples of their lives, and the quiet strength that comes, that echoes from them throughout the generations. Whether biological or adoptive or spiritual, mothers carry the weight of the nurturing life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Oftentimes, their work goes unseen and unappreciated, but it is important that we recognize their irreplaceable role as mothers. But it's not just about being a mother. It's about the impact of a nurturing love, a quiet strength, and a spiritual influence that a godly woman builds day by day in her family. It's a legacy of faith shaped in everyday moments, often seen, often unseen, often unrecognized, but always intentional and full of purpose. As the bride of Christ, we understand that motherhood is a God-ordained role. It is a call to shape lives, to shape generations, and even to shape the course of God's church. From the very beginning, women, especially mothers, have been vital instruments in God's plan of salvation. The faith and courage and obedience of godly women have helped to lay the foundations of truth that continue to impact us today. And it brings me to consider the words of Proverbs 31. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. We're going to start with this scripture, which I think is important. It lays the foundation of the message. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. It says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her." This verse gives us a real, real down-to-earth picture of a woman who doesn't need to shout out to be strong. Her strength shows up steady in steady ways, in the way that she speaks and the kindness that she gives. She cares for the people around her. She keeps things going in her life. Even when no one's watching, she leads with love more than anything else. And in time, the people who matter most to her, her family, see it and feel it and honor her for it. Today, I want to take a moment to call out these women that bless us, these women of God who have blessed us throughout history, and cheer with all of us here what the legacy of their faith has been in our lives. As we do, I want us to reflect on that love, the love of mothers, but also of godly women. Godly women of past and present that have had a spiritual influence as mothers of faith and vessels of God's purpose, which is the title of today's message. Mothers of Faith and Vessels of God's Purpose. Let's start by considering the importance of a mother's influence on the world and the legacy she leaves behind. Mothers shape generations. Their words can echo throughout the lifetime of a child. The prayers that she gives outlive her existence. Their presence, whether good or bad, can mark a life forever. Let us reflect for a moment on that same Proverbs 31:28, which we just read, specifically the verse that says, "Her children will arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her." This verse isn't about perfection. It's about recognition of the woman who chooses to fear God and to do righteous acts for her family, for those around her. A woman who pours herself out in the family deserves honor, not only for what she does, but for who she is. Brethren, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The world often measures success by numbers, by the titles we have in our jobs, by the achievements by the material things we gather. But God sees things very differently. God honors mothers who stay up all night long with their sick child, the women who sacrifice their own dreams so her children can chase theirs, their own, the grandmother that stays up praying daily for a prodigal son who may have left confused from the home. These are all acts of love, mercy, and patience that we should all aspire to, both men and women. These are fruits of the Spirit that we are called to develop. These quiet, often unseen moments are not insignificant. They are sacred acts of love and kindness. Motherhood, at its core, is a daily surrender of the self for the sake of others. It is the way of giving rather than the way of getting. It is the ultimate act of a servant leader. We live in a culture that rarely pauses to recognize this kind of strength that we see in our mothers, but God, our Father, sees it. Every small act of kindness, every tear that's shed in a prayer, every weary morning a mother chooses to rise up, she is doing God's work. This is the importance of a mother's influence. It shapes not just what her children do, but who they become. Her patience teaches resilience. Her faith plants seeds of hope. Her love becomes the lens through which her children may one day see God. A mother's influence is significant and wondrous and marvelous. It is a gift and a calling. And when done in step with God, it echoes far beyond what her eyes can see, well into the future, far into the generations ahead. A little further down in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 29, it says, "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." Many women do noble things, but you, mothers, surpass them all. This verse continues the theme of honoring the virtuous woman and emphasizing their exceptional character. The admiration she receives from those around her reinforces the idea that a mother's love, her wisdom and her dedication are deeply valued and worthy to be praised. So let's consider a few examples of women and mothers in the Bible and how they provide a foundation for God's work. The Bible offers powerful examples of women who shaped history through their faith, through their courage, and through their obedience to God. They were not perfect women, but they were willing and faithful and used by God in critical moments. The scriptures don't sugarcoat it. They give us real, honest, and deeply human examples of mothers that struggle, that doubted, that also believed and hoped and gave everything they had out of love and faith. Like the men in the Bible, they were not perfect, but that's the point. Their stories show us God uses real people with real struggles to shape history and usher in his plan of salvation. So we're going to begin with the very first woman in the Bible, the first mother in the Bible, which is Eve, whose story begins in Genesis. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis is rich with both, the story of Eve in Genesis is rich with both human failure and divine promises. Genesis 3:15. Even as she played a role in humanity's fall, she also became the bearer for the hope and promise of mankind's redemption. In Genesis 3:15, after the fall, God speaks to the serpent, declaring, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Even in the middle of judgment, God was already pointing to redemption. The seed of the woman refers to Jesus, who one day crushed the power of sin and Satan. It is a reminder that from the very beginning, God had a plan, and that through a woman would come the one who would save us all. Even after the fall, Eve's lineage carried the promise of redemption as she became the vessel of God's purpose. Later in Genesis 3, verse 20, we read that Adam called his wife by the name Eve because she was the mother of all living. The lesson here is that even in failure, God weaves hope into the story of mankind. Eve's role as the first mother illustrates that life and restoration are always possible through God's promises. The impact of Eve's action, both in humanity's fall and in the hope of redemption, continues to resonate through every generation, shaping the course of history and indeed the future world that is to come. So then, brethren, let's jump forward. Let's jump forward to the story of Ruth, a quiet yet powerful testament to the loyalty and faith of a woman and the courage of a widow in the face of uncertainty. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14. We all know the story. She makes an amazing decision that defines her legacy and her future. And Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14. We pick up the story at the key moment where it says, "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.'" These words are powerful. "Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." These words spoken to her mother-in-law Naomi mark more than just a personal vow. They represent a full surrender. A surrender to a new identity, a new culture, a new faith. Ruth was a Moabite, a pagan woman outside of the covenant people of Israel. And by birth, she had no claim to Israel's promises. But by faith and loyalty, she stepped into God's redemptive plan. Ruth chose to stay with Naomi, not out of obligation, but out of genuine love and devotion. She walked away from her homeland and into a life of poverty, gleaning in the fields just to survive, but she still remained steadfast with her mother-in-law. Ruth didn't follow God because she expected a reward. She followed because she trusted in Naomi's God to be faithful. That quiet, consistent loyalty caught the attention of Boaz and ultimately God. The results of Ruth's faith are extraordinary. Towards the end in Ruth 4, we are all told that she becomes the great-grandmother of King David. She would have a son, and his name would be Obed. And his father, he would be the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, the king. Even more stunning, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, it places her directly in the lineage of Jesus Christ. A Moabite widow with no standing in Israel becomes a key figure in the biblical record in the plan of salvation. But why? Why? Because God honors loyalty and faith. Regardless of where the journey starts, Ruth's life teaches us that faith isn't always loud. It's often shown in small, steady choices to do what's right, even when no one is watching. Instead of holding on to the past, she chose to hold fast to the future. A future with her mother-in-law in an unknown land, placing her faith in what was for her an unknown God. Her story reminds us that our backgrounds don't disqualify anyone from being used by God. And in fact, Ruth's outsider status highlights the inclusiveness of God's grace. The lesson is clear. Loyalty and faith, when grounded in love and trust, make room for God to work powerful, unexpected ways in our lives. Ruth's steady, quiet faith didn't just change her story. She became part of a bigger story. She became part of the lineage of the Messiah. Her life, marked by simple obedience and unwavering devotion, shaped the future of a nation and led to the coming of the Messiah. She didn't set out to make history, but because she trusted God, she became a vessel of his purpose. So then once again, we jump forward to the story of Mary. And when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary with the message that she would conceive a son, her life changed forever. Can you imagine a young, humble woman from Nazareth, poor, unmarried, and easily overlooked in the eyes of the world? Yet God chose her to carry his son, the one called the Son of the Highest, who would reign over the house of Jacob forever and whose kingdom will have no end. She must have been terrified, worried, anxious, overwhelmed with human emotions. Yet her response in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38 reveals the depth of her character and faith. Mary responds by saying, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary wasn't just giving in, she was choosing to trust. These are the words of a person who chooses to actively surrender their life. Mary chose to yield to God's will, not knowing how it would all unfold, but trusting the one who had called her. Mary's submission came at a great personal cost. She risked her reputation, her engagement to Joseph, and possibly even her life in a society that condemned unwed mothers. Still, she accepted God's plan with humility and obedience. Her willingness made her the vessel through which the Savior of the world entered into history. And as she carried Jesus in her womb, she carried the hope of humanity. Her song of praise in Luke reflects the heart of someone who understood the weight of God's calling. Let's turn there to Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. She understood this calling and she responded with worship. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." God didn't choose Mary because she was a powerful, perfect woman. He chose her because she was humble and obedient. Her role in raising Jesus and teaching Jesus, nurturing him in his humanity, and standing by him even at the cross reveals the quiet strength of someone who was fully surrendered to God's plan. The most powerful thing we can all say when we are called, like Mary, is to say, "Let it be to me according to your word." Mary's story is a call to all of us. God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people who hear his voice and are willing to trust and obey it. She became a vessel of God's purpose. There are so many women, brethren, so many women in the Bible. I had a long list of at least 10, and I had to cut them short. But there are so many in the Old and the New Testament that you could refer to. And it's just simply not enough time, and I would encourage each and every one of us, take the time and read, not just about the prophets of old, but the women. They had such an impact. Each of these women, Eve, Ruth, and Mary, served as vessels of God's purpose in distinct and powerful ways. Even the first woman became the mother of all living. She set the stage for humanity's need for redemption. Ruth, which is a foreigner and a widow, stepped into God's plan through an unwavering loyalty and faith, becoming part of the lineage that led to Jesus. Mary, young and humble, accepted God's call with courage and gave birth to the Savior himself. Though their lives were shaped by different cultures and circumstances, each woman played a vital role in God's plan. Their willingness, despite uncertainty, unworthiness, reminds us that God works through those who heed his call and say yes to him. And they respond to him by saying yes with courage and conviction. Shaping history through their ordinary lives that they surrendered to his will. But brethren, the challenges for mothers today can be just as difficult. It's not easy. It can be messy, exhausting, and even thankless. Mothers today juggle work, family, and cultural pressures that put our children at risk. We are living in a world held captive, and our families are all under attack. And it is our mothers that are on the front line protecting our children. Their job is not easy. Women are balancing careers and parenting their children, and at times even caregiving for their elderly parents. The emotional labor needed to find a work-life balance can be so overwhelming. Expectations are high, and at times support can be low. Many mothers silently wonder, "Am I doing enough? Do my sacrifices matter? Am I doing the right thing?" Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, you do matter, and yes, your sacrifices matter. Your actions are planting seeds of love for the future that matters then more than you could ever imagine. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 kind of summarizes up what we're talking about here. The Apostle Paul says, "Let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." This scripture sums up the motherhood in one verse. Tiring, faithful work that may not show fruit right away, but God promises the harvest is coming. Faithful mothers don't always see the fruit immediately, but their investment in love and correction and nurturing and prayer always outlasts them. You may not be raising a prophet like Samuel or Moses, but you are raising someone who needs to know God's truth. Someone that will be a light in this dark world. That alone makes your work sacred. Now let me make it clear. Not every woman is a mother by birth, but many are mothers in the spirit. The church is filled with spiritual mothers. Women who disciple, who nurture and love like Christ did, shaping the lives of those around them with wisdom and compassion. Women who step up in service of the brethren in their time of need. Isaiah 66:13 tells us beautifully. It reflects God's nurturing heart beautifully when it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul reflects this maternal instinct of a servant leader, saying of himself, We were gentle among you, just as nursing mothers cherish her own children. These verses highlight God's character, a character of love and compassion. He is tender-hearted, protective, and faithful, and he expresses that nurturing love through women. Whether they are biological mothers or spiritual mentors, the Bible is filled with women who carried the heart of a mother, and even when they were not raising children, they were called to play a part in God's plan. Let's consider Huldah in 2 Kings 22. You don't need to turn there. Huldah. How many people have heard that name? Huldah. Huldah was a wise and respected spiritual leader and a prophetess in ancient Israel during the reign of Josiah. We all remember the story when King Josiah came to power. He was very young. And at the age of 18, he recognized that the temple had fallen in disarray. It was a symptom of the spiritual decay and condition of the people who had strayed away from God. So Josiah commanded the high priest Hilkiah to begin the restoration of the temple. And in the process, they found the book of the law, which had been lost. Scriptures tell us that the king Josiah sent messengers to inquire of the Lord. In other words, he sought an understanding of the book and he was pursuing the truth, which is when we are introduced to this obscure woman in scripture called Huldah. Think about it. Rather than going to other known prophets like Jeremiah, it was Huldah that the king relied upon for understanding and truth. It is at this moment that Huldah enters the biblical record and provides King Josiah the spiritual counsel needed, initiating a spiritual reawakening of the nation and a national repentance of Israel. Her role underscores the significance of women in leadership and in the importance of spiritual discernment. Huldah was trusted with God's message, showing that spiritual wisdom is not confined to a specific gender. Huldah became a vessel of God's purpose. Another woman to consider, Priscilla. Priscilla was mentioned alongside her husband, Aquila, who was known to have mentored many young believers, including Apollos, instructing him in the way of the Lord. Priscilla was a prominent early Christian leader, known for her deep faith and wisdom and teaching of the gospel. She played a vital role in mentoring believers and spreading Christianity, particularly in Corinth, in Ephesus, and in Rome. Her legacy underscores the importance of women in teaching, discipleship, and strengthening the church. Priscilla was also a vessel of God's purpose. These women remind us that spiritual motherhood is about investing time in others, offering guidance to others, and nurturing the faith in this next generation. It is clear through countless scriptures that God uses maternal imagery to describe the spiritual care we are to give, calling all of us, men and women, to embody the nurturing, guiding, and selfless love that mothers often reflect. The church of God flourishes when it is filled with spiritual mothers and fathers, people who build others up, who challenge them in love, and who are there walking with those people that are challenged through the seasons of life. So then, brethren, tomorrow, let us not just celebrate mothers with flowers and cards. Let us honor them with words that speak life. Tell the women in your life how their faith has changed you. Tell your mom or the mother figures in your life how much they mean to you. Do not wait for the perfect time. Every day is a perfect time. Let us honor them with acts of service and support. Help carry the burdens they quietly bear. Love them in practical ways. Help them out. Show up. Listen to them. Remember the small things they do for you. Remember that appreciation means more than gifts. It means seeing them for who they are and helping them with a humble appreciation. Let us honor them with gratitude and recognition. Honor them publicly for what they often do privately. Pray for them and pray with them. Stand in the gap for our weary moms, our single moms, our grieving moms, and our expectant moms. Above all, let us learn from their legacy of faith. Brethren, the women we consider today, Eve, Ruth, Mary, Huldah, and Priscilla, were not background figures in God's plan. Just like all of us, all of you women here today are not in the background. You're part of God's plan. They and us are, and you guys are all pillars of strength, of wisdom, and of spiritual influence. The Church of God stands today because of the prayers and courage and teachings of mothers and women of faith. We are here because someone, maybe a mother, maybe a grandmother, maybe a woman in a church, believed God and stood firm and poured their hearts out into yours or mine and to the people around them. Let us honor them, not just today, but every day, by living the faith that they've passed down to us. And then one day, long after we're all gone, someone will tell a story that begins with, "My mother used to say," or "My grandmother always prayed," or "There is a woman in a church that said," reminding us of true legacy that is passed down from generation to generation. It's not fame, it's not fortune that's a legacy, but it's faithfulness and love that we pass on to each other. And so as we close this message, let us remember, God sees every moment, every sacrifice, every act of love. You may feel invisible, and I'm speaking to the women here, but to God your work is eternal. Let's turn to our final scripture in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30 tells us, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." So to the mothers and women who serve in the church, once again, we say thank you. Your service to the brethren is valued and you are deeply appreciated. Your hands shape this congregation in ways often unseen yet profoundly felt. Whether you are teaching or mentoring or leading or simply showing up with a listening ear, your presence is a gift. Your kindness reflects the heart of Christ, shaping lives with patience and love. And you are an example to all of us who are in the body of Christ. So together, let us build a legacy of love that reflects the heart of Christ. Let us lift up the mothers of faith, and just like them, let us all become vessels of God's purpose.